Let's go.
From the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago, the Pete McMurray Show on WGN.
312-981-7200 is our phone number and our text line. Pete McMurray, I'm here until 11 o'clock. After the shootings today, how do we talk to our kids about it? Our next guest is the news and politics editor for blogher.com, also a freelance writer specializing in parenting and culture. On the phone with us is Grace Wong Lynch. Grace, thanks for coming on tonight.
Hi, Pete.
Grace, you're an informed mother. I'm an uninformed father. How do we talk to our children about things like the shooting that happened today?
Well, yeah, first of all, I would say that in my experience and in talking to experts such as psychologists and school leaders and people like that, first of all, don't introduce things that are beyond what they need to know. I think that, you know, kids, especially when it's a local tragedy, will hear about it, and they may hear about it at school, even if you haven't brought it up. So first, let them lead the discussion and let them, you know, ask you the questions. You know, when you pick them up from school, ask them, you know, were people talking about things? Or if they have questions, let them set the pace and kind of go from there.
So don't give them too much information. Like today when I was leaving for work, my son asked me, you know, Dad, are you going to be safe at work? And I said, of course.
Oh.
Of course I am.
Heartbreaking. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So of course, you know, he may have overheard this going on. He may have, just heard adults talking about it or seen snippets of it on TV. So, mm-hmm. You know, when they start talking about things, ask them, well, you know, what did you hear? And, are you worried? Give them a sense that it's okay to feel the way that they do. Because sometimes as parents, you know, maybe it was the way we were raised that parents in our generation would say either, oh, you know, don't worry about that, or, you know, pretend things didn't happen. But I think that most experts nowadays would say it's okay for kids to be worried because they're smart and they pick up on things. And so, first of all, you want to let them feel that it's okay to be concerned, and then talk to them about how rare these kind of situations are, and that it only happens in a very rare case, and then we hear a lot about it because of how unusual it is, not because it happens all the time.
So ask your kids if they have any questions, and if they do, you can answer them.
I would answer them in little bits at a time, and depending on how old, you know, I don't know how old your son is, you know, how much do you think he's able to handle, and how much do you think he's able to process? You know, you wouldn't want to talk to a 5-year-old the way you would talk to a 12-year-old.
Right. We're talking with Grace Wong Lynch. Her blog is blogher.com. Now, my son is 9 years old. It's interesting that you brought that up because he's entering fourth grade, and fourth grade, as Scott likes to remind me, is when he learned all his swear words.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard from many experts that is kind of the age when kids are able to start talking about more serious issues and able to start talking about life and death and to process it in a way that's better than a really young child would be able to. In fact, I remember something that stuck in my head was that a lot of experts will recommend that you shouldn't let your kids watch the news on TV until they're in that middle elementary to upper elementary school age, because beyond, you know, younger than that, they see the images, but it kind of, you know, they don't really know how to process, well, what's real and what's not real and what's happening somewhere far away and what's happening right in my own backyard.
Right. I mean, it's tough being a parent. No one tells you about this.
Yeah. I know. And it's so hard living in our day and age when this, you know, unfortunately, this kind of news happens on such a more increasing basis that, you know, we don't want to have to deal with this.
What about when my son starts talking about body parts?
Body parts in terms of birds and the bees?
Well, the story is he loves the show Wipeout. Are you familiar with the show Wipeout, where they go through an obstacle course that's made of padding and they have to jump over 4 red balls? And he was singing in the car today, "I have big balls." And I said, because that was from the show or some type of song from the show. And I said, Charlie, you know, that's probably not a good thing. And he's like, why, Dad? It's from the show Wipeout. I said, well, yeah, people may take it the wrong way. And he started laughing.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, not everything we see on TV is something that we want to emulate. And it seems like the bar keeps moving. And unfortunately, it keeps kind of moving lower and lower. So that, I mean, when we were growing up, I never heard language like that on TV. It's a little surprising.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's tons of stuff on TV now, but you gotta monitor everything.
I mean, I keep warning Pete, Grace, because, like, mm-hmm. in fourth grade, you name any word to describe any part of the body where your bathing suit covers. I learned in fourth grade, and I saw people, you know, grabbing each other's butts on the playground, and mm-hmm. that's when it all got introduced, and I'm nervous for Pete with his son. Fourth grade is when it happens.
Yeah, you know, but I have a son who is also entering fourth grade, so I am right there with you. It's kind of a turning point. You know, it's kind of a turning point from being a little kid to being a bigger kid. And, you know, as parents, I think we have to just do our best to tell them, you know, this is what is acceptable in our family, or this is the kind of language that you can use in certain situations, but maybe not in other situations. And you have to kind of navigate it as it comes up.
It's interesting the things that they see, too, because my son was in a sports camp this summer, and after they did swimming, they all took a shower, and he came home one night, he said, Dad, why am I wearing briefs when everybody has the long ones? I go, what are you talking about? He said, well, their underwear is longer. And he wanted boxer briefs, so we went out to Target,
right,
and we bought boxer briefs.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. I don't know what it is, where it's coming from, if it's because adults like that, and so the trends are moving down to kids. But I'll tell you, I went to go shopping the other day to buy back-to-school clothes, and it's very hard to find regular briefs. All they have are boxer briefs.
Right.
For little kids, you know, all the way down to, like, the kids who are being potty trained. And
oh, really?
Buying their first pair of underwear. Yeah.
It's all about boxer briefs nowadays, isn't it?
It's all about what's trendy, and it you know, just moves down from the adults to the teenagers, and then down to the little kids. You know, be glad you don't have a daughter. Be glad you don't have a daughter who's wanting to wear revealing clothing at 5 years old.
Wow, I fully admit that I'm the biggest idiot on the planet, and some days I just look at myself and think, how did I become a parent? What am I doing? I have no idea what I'm doing. How do I answer these questions? I mean, I'm sure people feel this way as they raise their kids, but some days it's like, wow, what just happened?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, you know, there's no license to become a parent. You have to take tests and pass a driving test to get a driver's license. You have to do all kinds of things for other privileges in life. But to become a parent, you know, you're lucky if you get a couple nights to learn how to do Lamaze before you go to the hospital to give birth.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some days where I just say, wow, this is just the most unbelievable thing. But there's that day when your son or daughter turns into the devil and they just hate you the entire day. And it's like, God, I just want to drop them off somewhere for a week.
I know. But you know what? That's when you have to take a deep breath, pull out all those cards that they give you on your birthday and on Christmas and Father's Day, where they tell you all these wonderful things about you and how much they love you and what a great dad you are. And remember, you know, yeah, we all make mistakes. You know, we're all trying to figure things out as we go, because there's no handbook. And even when you read the book, you know, they don't often, your kids aren't always the same way as the kids in the handbooks and all the advice books. And so part of it is you just have to, you know, you read, you be informed, and then you figure out what works best for you.
I think the bottom line is you got to talk to your kids, right?
You do have to talk to your kids, you know, whether it's after something happens in the news, you know, you want to talk to them, and not just once. You know, I bet that sometime later today, it happens to me when my kids are going to sleep, when their thoughts come out, and that's when the things that are really troubling them come out. And so when you're going to bed tonight, you know, spend a little extra time and you know, sit with him and do whatever your routine is, read a story or talk about your day, and I'll bet you anything he's going to start telling you a little bit more about, you know, Dad, that really made me scared, or Dad, you know, are you going to be okay? Do you have to go to work? Things like that come out.
Grace, that is a great point. And that's one of the pluses, I do have to say. When we're preempted by the Cubs, I get to put my son to bed. And, of course, we go through the reading. You know, we like to read a book before we go to bed. But we go through our roses and thorns for the day. And we start with the thorns.
Oh,
and that's
nice.
That's when it comes out. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's always when it comes out. You know, I mean, just think about when we're going to bed and you're trying to lie in bed, and then all of a sudden all the things come into your mind. You're like, oh, I should have done that. Or, you know, oh, I'm really worried about this tomorrow. And it's the same way with kids.
Right. What happens at 3 a.m. when I wake up and my mind's racing and I can't fall asleep until 5 a.m.?
I know. I personally, you know, write it down and tell yourself, I'm going to worry about this tomorrow.
Yeah, but I feel like if I get up, I feel like, Grace, if I get up and start writing things down, it's going to wake me up even more. So I just sit there.
Yeah. You know what? It happens to me pretty often. So I will just put a notebook in my nightstand next to my bed. And sometimes when things are bothering me and I'm getting kind of wound up about something, I'll just pick it up and I'll write it down. And it's like my list of things to think about the next morning. And most of the time that's enough to like take it off my shoulders a little bit. And then I can kind of move on.
That's a great idea.
And, you know, even, you know, maybe that's something you can try even with your children. Like maybe if it helps them to draw a picture or write a card for somebody or something like that. And that might help them to feel like, you know, I'm doing something.
Scott, I know you sleep through the night, but I wake up every single night. Last night, I was up between 3 and 5, wide awake.
Really?
Wide awake.
Huh. Grace, is Velcroing a 3-year-old daughter to her mattress so I can get some sleep a bad thing?
Probably.
Really? Okay. All right, so then I should just throw that out the window. All right, so I'll try another tactic.
Grace, before you go, any advice for an expectant mother? Because Jill is going to have her first baby in September.
Oh, congratulations.
Hi, thank you.
Congratulations. You know, I say take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Get rest. Surround yourself with people who can help you out, whether they be older people or people who are your friends and your, if you have sisters or anybody of your age group. And and don't be hard on yourself.
Oh, man, you hit it on the head, girl.
Oh, so, I can't help out that day. I'm busy.
Pete, don't worry. I wasn't. Oh. He's always got a thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I am. I am tired. I need my rest, and I'm stressed out about getting the room ready.
Oh, I'm stressed too.
Shut up.
You know what? No baby cares about their room. No baby notices what their room looks like.
That's
exactly what I said to my wife 9 years ago.
No, the baby's going to be in my room. We don't even have a room. I just have to get the crib set up. I don't even have that yet.
Right. We decorated the room. It was so pretty. We had, you know, paintings on the wall and everything. And then I spent the next year trying to force him to go to sleep and, you know, wasn't really enjoying that. And with the second baby,
right,
we decided, you know what, we're putting the little co-sleeper thing in our room. And we're not going to stress about that because everybody eventually goes into their own room.
Oh, yep. Sure. I told my husband.
There's Jill's baby right there.
After a year, we'll get a bigger place. I just want the crib set up. That's all.
Grace Wong Lynch. You can find her at blogher.com. You also have another blog, hoppamama.com. Is that right?
Yeah. That's my personal blog where I blog about the things that happen to my family. I have we're an Asian mixed race family, so, you know, we have all kinds of things that happen to us that are kind of unique and unusual, and maybe other people can relate to them too.
Nice. Grace, thanks for coming on. If we need more kid advice, we're coming back to you, okay?
Oh, anytime. All right. Anytime.
Have
good
a great,
to be here.
Great night. Grace Wong Lynch, you can check her out, blogher.com. She was great. I need advice. I don't